I want to share something with you this morning. Preachers is all different. So what works for another preacher, that's fine. But for me, I have to do things the way that works for me. So I try my very best to be very prayerful, very open, very thoughtful. I mean, this afternoon, I'll be thinking about next Sunday. I don't wait till Saturday night to try to throw something together. Now, this is just Ronnie, okay? If it works for somebody else, that's perfectly all right. All right, that's fine. So I try to be prayerful and try to be open with my heart and listen to the Lord. And Monday night, I was reading about where Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount tells us very plainly that we're to be the light to the world. And Megan was over at my house, I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday night, one I really can't remember. Anyway, Thursday night, because they had met on Wednesday night and had choir practice, and she said, she told me that they were going to sing this little light of mine. Well, it didn't even click with me. So Friday morning, I'm reading, I'm studying and doing all of this. And I called Megan. I said, Megan, did you tell me y'all were going to sing this little light of mine? She said, yes. I said, good. Because it goes right along with everything I want to say this morning. In fact, I want to ask you something. How many of you... First of all, let me tell you something about that song. It was written in the 1920s. Harry David Loess, I believe is how you say his last name, or Loess, wrote that song. It's a children's song. How many of you here sung that song growing up? I'll raise it a little bit higher. I want to see really. Nearly everybody in here sung that song growing up, you know. So it's a song that children have been singing a long time. Now me personally, and again, this is me personally, I kind of like that amped up version. I liked it. I liked it a lot, if you want to know the truth. So thank you, young ladies, for all the hard work that you do with those those children, because that song is absolutely based every bit on the teaching of Christ. It's sound. That's a very sound, doctrinally sound song that we sing. Now, I'm going to do something real quick for the children. Would that same group, if you will, would you come back up here? All of you that are in here, would you come back for just a minute? We're going to do something real quick. All of you. Come on, come on, come on, hurry. Come on. Y'all come up here where everybody can see you guys. How about that? You can there you go. There you go. All right. You can sit right there. That's fine. That's fine. All right. All right. All right. All right. Okay. Okay. Come on. You coming? Anybody else? All right. I brought a couple of things with me. Going to do a little real quick, just a little object lesson, okay? Did y'all like singing that song?
Yeah.
You did? Okay, good. Rest of you? Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. I got a couple of things with me. I'm going to pull out of a bag here, okay? It's not goodies. I didn't bring you no Valentines. I'm sorry. Your pastor didn't think that far ahead. Well, I said I was. Okay, here we go. You know what that is?
Light bulb.
It is a light bulb. What kind of light bulb is it, though? What would you probably use that light bulb for?
Light.
Well, yeah, you'd use it for light, okay. But it's... I'm trying. It's a small light bulb. Well, what might you use a small light bulb for?
Light.
Yeah. Well, that's true too. Okay, we're getting a little bit closer, but what do you think? What would you do in your home with a small, where would you find, where would you see a little small light bulb like this in your house? Do what? Okay, all right. Where? Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's good. But what about a night light? Does any of you have a night light in your room?
I have one.
You have one? Any of the rest of you got a night light? How do y'all make it to the restroom at night? Probably shouldn't say this, but just wait a few more years. Okay, so we determined that one would be for like a little night light, right? Okay. All right, now let me ask you this. What do you think that one would be for? Cooper? Huh? Oh, yeah, that's right. That might be the size bulb that you'd have in a lamp that would be in the ceiling. It does look like a balloon, doesn't it? Okay. All right, now I got one more I want to show you, okay? Where would you see that light at? That one? Yeah, it was. I stopped by your house and got it. Don't tell nobody, though. What do you guys think? Where would you see that one?
On a car.
On a car? Well,
almost.
It's big like a car. That's right. Outside your house. Would you see this like maybe on the corner of your house or somewhere like a, what would we call this? Yeah, that's right. All right, so that would be an outside light, right? Out of all of these lights that I brought, which one do you think would put off the most light? This one? I think you're right. But let me ask you this. Out of every one of them, if we talk about all of them, what's the one thing that every single one of them does? What? All right, they light up things. That's right. Y'all got it right. Okay. Now, the thing to remember too is this. One of them was very small, one of them was a little bit bigger, one of them was very large. But the thing to always remember is that every single one of them puts off light. And it doesn't matter whether you have a big spotlight or if you just take and strike a match. Light does one thing. It always dispels darkness. Always. That always happens. So it's very important in our life. Sometimes some of you, you're small and everything. You might be just like a little nightlight. And then as you grow in your Christian faith, you become, hopefully, I hope you'll grow in your Christian faith, that you will be brighter and brighter. And I'll say to every one of us, we ought to be the floodlights, folks. We ought to be the ones that's shining very brightly. I'm sorry? What?
They're the huge light bulbs.
That's right. They ought to be the huge light bulbs. That's right. Okay. All right. Y'all can go be seated. Thank y'all. Thank you so much. All right, I appreciate them children, and I know you do. And if you have your Bibles today, we're going to read. Oh, let me say one other thing. I want to reiterate something that's already been said. The Sunday school, 148, that is great, folks. And you know what? We can keep that number there. There's no reason why this church can't maintain that number or go beyond. So let's all make a conscious effort to come and be a part of Sunday school here at Hightower Church. You'll be blessed for it. That's great, and I appreciate everyone that makes a special effort to come and be here at Sunday school. Okay, in Matthew's Gospel, the first Gospel, New Testament, the book of Matthew. And then we're going to read something out of a little bit out of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5, and this is Matthew's gospel, chapter number 5. This was where Jesus preaches his greatest sermon. It's what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's chapters 5 through 6, 7, 8, up through there, something like that. And it's the greatest sermon that could possibly ever be preached because it's a sermon that Christ preached. And this little light of mine, like I said, is a song that's been around a long, long time. And most everybody in here raised their hand. And if you didn't, I hope the next time, because I hope they sing that song again real soon, I hope you'll sing along with them, okay? And then there shouldn't be no reason why everybody couldn't raise their hand and say that they have sung that song, because every one of us needs to understand the importance in our life of letting our light shine in a very dark world that you and I live in today. Jesus was talking to those people and encouraging them to let the light of Christ that is in them, to let it shine into the world that they were living in. And it calls on you and I today to also to be a light in a very dark world that we all live in today. And we should let our light shine and let it shine very, very brightly. Now listen to what Jesus said. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter number 5. It begins with verse number 14. He said, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under the bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now I know that, you know, that's probably a passage that most folks, you've probably just about heard that preached on as much as you've heard it sung about. You've heard that particular passage a lot, I'm sure. And there's one thing about it. None of us, no preacher, no church anywhere has ever wore it out. It'll still work to listen to. And what Jesus taught those disciples, who was there? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us when you begin reading in that fifth chapter there that a multitude of people was following him. So we know that there was a great multitude there. And he also called his disciples unto him, so it reads, and the disciples came, and they're present there also. So he has this large multitude of people, and he also has the disciples that are present there. And he begins by going through the Beatitudes, things that should be your attitude in life, and the way you should be kind and respectful and humble and loving and treat your fellow man. Goes through all of those. And then he talks a little bit about salt and how it keeps things from spoiling. Do you think that he might have been saying to the world that we live in a world that's decaying? Might have been. And let me tell you something, you may not have ever thought about this way. And some of you, you're probably not even going to like to think about this right now, and you might not even like what I'm going to say. But every single one of us in here, our body is doing what? Decaying. Now it is. Whether you or not, every single one of us is growing older in life. And the older you get in life, the more you begin to realize just how frail that body is. And the Lord talked about salt as being a preservative and how it keeps something from spoilage. Well, I want to tell you something. The one thing that you and I have that the rest of the world does not have, or those that are outside of Christ, is we've got something on the inside that's ultimately going to keep us from spoiling. This old earthly body, it will decay. It's going to be put in a grave someday, and it will definitely decay. But what's on the inside, what's been born into the family of God, what is a part of Christ, and what Christ has birthed in you, cannot die. And it lives forever. And there's no spoilage whatsoever in that. So that's just a little brief, quick summary of those things there. But he goes on And he begins to talk to us about being a light in this world. And he talks about lighting a candle. And I know that most of the time people think about a candle. You know, you think about candles that we see in our home and wax and a wick and everything like that. That's really not what he's really talking about here. In that time, a candle, what they were really talking about, it would be about the size of the palm of your hand, or the size of your hand, excuse me, of a man's hand, and it would be an earthen vessel or something that would have been made out of clay, and it would have had an opening there, and then it would have had a little spout that came out of it, and they would take that olive oil, and they would fill that area of the dish part of it, they would fill it with olive oil, and then out the spout would be a type of woven wick, just something similar to what you'd see in an actual lantern or lamp today, and that wick would be run down in there, and then they would light that, and the wick would draw that oil up into the end of that spout that they would have lit, and that would burn, and it would put off a light that people could see. And so that's the kind of candle that Jesus is talking about, or what he's talking about here. And the one thing that he was saying to those people also is that light always dispels darkness. And we, like I said, we live in a world today, there is tons of darkness in the world that you and I live in. And we're called to be a light to this world that we live in today. Listen, I want you to understand what he was saying. He wasn't saying that we are called into retreat, but he was saying that we have been called to be a light that is bright, that is shining, that people would be able to see us and see what's on the inside of us, really. See what we have. And really, we're reflectors, I guess you would say, of the light of Christ. You know something that we say a lot of times, we talk about a moonlit night. Do you remember just a few weeks ago, did any of you see that moon, that whatever they call it, blood moon, some kind of moon, I don't know, big moon, bright moon? But do you know, within itself, that moon cannot put out, the moon is dark, folks. The moon cannot produce light. The moon only reflects the light of the sun. That's how it puts off light. And you and I as Christians, when we have Christ in our heart and Christ in our lives, then we are a reflector of what He has placed in us, of the light of Him that we would be able to shine into the world that we live in today. So He tells us that we're to be a light to the world. And then he goes on and he makes a very interesting statement that something perhaps you've thought about, perhaps you've never thought about. But he talks about this light being like a city that's set on a hill. Well, in all likelihood, he is talking about the city of Sepphoris. Now, you won't find that name nowhere in the Bible. But it was the capital city of Galilee. And it was a very large city that set up on a hill. And it's about 3 miles north of Nazareth. Where did Jesus grow up at? Nazareth. We know that that's where he lived. And so this city would have been a city that would have set up about 3 miles, and even archaeologists say today that it would have been very visible for miles because of its location and where it set up on the side of that hill. So in all likelihood, this is the very city that perhaps Jesus was speaking of. He may have even went with his father and worked there. It was a very thriving city of its day. It's not mentioned, like I said, you won't find that particular name, but you won't find much said about Tiberias in the Bible neither. And it's a major city in the in New Testament times. But this would have, in all likelihood, have been that city that he would have talked about. And from his childhood, growing up in Nazareth, and that city just being a few miles away, and it was a very wealthy city. It's where a lot of wealthy Romans lived in that particular time and era of time. And he would have been able, as a child, Jesus would have looked and he would have seen that city up there with all those torches, and how it would have been very brightly lit at night, and you could visually see it all through the Bible. Jesus uses it. Them people knew exactly. Whether it was that city or not, I can't say for sure, but I'm satisfied to his listeners and to those disciples and that multitude that was there, they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. Well, you and I, even today, you know what it's like to see something that is very lit up and very bright, and you can just see real good. You know what I love to do? I love to ride by this church at night. Do you ever ride by? You ever ride by here and look at this church at night? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You can see it. But you know what, folks? Just as we might ride by and look and see the lights and how this, you know, I don't know, sometimes when it's real dark outside and this white and the steeple and everything, this place just shines when you ride by. I mean, just literally shines. And you know what? That's the way we need to be as a church. We need to be a church that when people see us, they take notice. They see something about us. They see that light that's in us. They see something that's shining very brightly. And they take note of it. Jesus said, you can't miss. That's what he was saying. He was saying, you know, you can't miss this city that's setting up on this hillside. You can't miss it at night. You can't miss it in the darkness. Listen, he was referring to, yes, it was such a large city that you would even see it in the daytime. But really and truly, the image there is that in the darkness, as darkness surrounds everything, in the light that city would put off, that you would visibly be able to see it. Just look up and see it. And that's the way God wants you and I to be as Christian people. He wants you and I to be like that city that's set on the hill. He wants you and I to be seen. And if we allow our lights to shine like we should, we'll be seen. If we allow the light of Christ to show through in our life, we're going to be seen. I want to tell you something, folks. There is all kinds of darkness in the world today. There's a lot of people that's in the darkness of discouragement. You know that? There's people that gets in the dark places of discouragement. There's people in the dark places of loneliness. You can be in a crowd and be lonely. There's dark places of loneliness in people's lives. There's dark places of heartache in people's lives. There is dark places of broken homes in people's lives today. And go on and so forth. But then you know what else? There is the darkness of sin in people's lives. The darkness of sin. And oh, does those people need to see a light? Does those people need so desperately to see a light? But listen, those people that are in the darkness of loneliness, they need a glimmer of light from you and I. Those people that are in darkness of difficult times in life needs to see a little bit of light from you and I. Jesus made it very plain that Christian people need to let their light shine, need to be seen. And you know what I'm afraid happens to all of us? You may disagree with me, but sometimes instead of being the shining light that we need to be, we have a tendency rather to just want to blend in. You know? Because somebody's liable to look at you and think, oh, you know, they're one of them Bible thumpers, you know, or something like that. They're liable to think you're some kind of odd something, and you become a little hesitant maybe to let your light really shine. So you just blend in, or we do this. We Christian people are so bad about this. We you know what we dress in? You know what Christian people dress in? We dress in camouflage, because that's what we want to do. We want to just blend into the world. And really and truly, you know what? As Christian people, we ought to be the ones that are in blaze orange. Do you know that? Because that's what's visible, and that's what's seen, and that's what people needs to see in you and I. So Jesus tells us that you're the light of the world, that we're a city that's set on a hill, and we cannot be hid. So we're told to be seen. We're told to let our light shine. We're told that we're not to hide our light. And that's what I mean. You know, that's what I mean about blending in. That's what I mean about not really letting the light shine out like we should. Jesus said, when you light that lamp in your home, he said, you don't hide it under a bushel somewhere. But you know what he really said? He said, you put it out there in the most open place, on that candle stand. You put it on that stand where it helps everyone. That's exactly what he's saying in that passage of Scripture. He didn't just say that it was there for you. Listen to what he said. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it gives light unto all that are in the house. See it? Do you see what he was saying? You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, we need to let it shine for the world to see, folks. We need to let it shine for those that are in the difficult places of life, that they can see Christ in us and they can see something about us, that they too would want to be a part of this. So we're not to hide it. We're not to suppress the light of Christ that's in you and I. We're to place it in a place where it's to be most useful. So that all might be able to see it. And then what an awesome responsibility that he gives to us when he closes that out. And I want you to get this too. He said, let your light shine. I heard, I guess it was 25 or 30 years ago, Charles Stanley made this statement one time when I was listening to him. He said, there's a big difference in letting your light shine and making your light shine. You're not going to do too good if you're trying to make your light shine. D.L. Moody said one time, the great preacher that he was, he said, we're told to let our light shine. And he said, if we're letting our light shine, he said, we don't have to tell anybody. He said, a lighthouse doesn't sound a cannon to let you know that it's a lighthouse. He said, the lights is on. And when you look, you see it, and you know that that's a lighthouse. Nobody has to ring no bells. Nobody has to make a commotion or anything like that. You know that it's a lighthouse because the light's on. You can see it. And you and I, as Christian, if we let our light shine, people just sees Christ in us. You don't have to put on no airs about you or anything like that. Just let Christ shine. Just let Christ be seen. Just let Christ radiate through you. That's what he's talking about, that you and I should be. So it's an awesome responsibility. Paul said this, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. He said, for you were sometimes, and really a good translation of that is, for you were once in darkness. You were once in darkness. You were in darkness yourself. But now are you light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. That's what Paul says, that we are to walk as children of light. So you and I have an awesome responsibility today to be lights in a dark world, to be a light in a world that so desperately needs light. We live in a world today, if there's ever been a time that people needs to see the love of Christ, if there's ever been a time that people needs to know who Jesus is, it's the world that you and I live in today, because there is so much darkness, folks. There is so much of where Christ has been tried to be weeded out and pushed out and put aside. And we need, as Christian people, we need to let Christ be seen in our lives so desperately in the world. What about you this morning? Are you letting your light shine as a Christian? Every one of us, are we letting our light shine like we should? And then the other question I would ask you is this. Are you capable of a light shining in your life? Without Christ, you're not. Without a relationship with Him, without knowing Him as Lord and Savior in your life, without trusting Him to be the Savior, you have no light. You have no capability of letting that light shine. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I'll give you an opportunity today. You're here and you've never trusted Christ. If you've never come and been born again, if you've never knelt in an altar somewhere or erected an altar anywhere, wherever it was, you can today while we stand together and sing a hymn of invitation.